Chapter 44. Saturday morning, each of the Slayers received a special telegram delivered to their home. Val, Zell, and Zelos were not home. They were asleep. The boys slept through the morning, through the helicopter's early comings and goings, and would have slept all day, had Milgazia not awakened them. "Time to rise and shine, boys. The mayor has some special announcement, and the settlement has prepared a bountiful brunch for you before the helicopter takes you home," the older man enlightened the groggy kids. Zelos silently suffered the lack of shower, toothbrush, and change of clothes with panache. Zell straightened the kinks out of his hair, brushed off his pants, and followed the lanky, disheveled Val to the door. "This morning, I am drinking coffee by the gallon," Zell said with a determined set to his jaw. "Think again, Dr. Zell," Val chuckled. "Where you are, there ain't no coffee or caffeine here outside of a rare cup of non-herbal tea." Val's smile grew as he felt the disturbance in the force that he was causing. No meat, no sodas, no unrefined sugar. Think whole grains, lots of fruit, and vegetables. Remember how pissed off I was after being here a week? Deprivation. I needed to keep my attitude. Zelos thought Val was hysterical and laughed accordingly. Zell was gloomy to the extreme and did not. "I can't wait to go home and be alone. Oh, wait, you guys live there too. Wait, what about my car? Look over there, it's buried in snow. I gotta get it out." Zell flew into a panic. Val wrapped his arms around the smaller guy, holding him still. "Relax, Zell. It ain't going nowhere. But we are. Eat. Build them reserves, dude," Val joked, and pushed Zell ahead of him. Milgazia had walked on ahead, and now awaited them at the door. "Hurry up. Don't keep them all waiting." "Everyone is in such a hurry around here," observed Zelos. "Babies. Funky old guys. Ah, Philia. Good morning. Don't you look lovely this snowy morning?" "Shut up, Chaos Kid. The only time Baby Bro was quiet was when Mom and Dad took him off in that helicopter, so I got 0 minutes of sleep. They're all back now. Everybody's groovy, Mom says. Her word, not mine. Oh, the doctor wants to see you in private first. Gods, Zelly, you were the last person I thought would take drugs. That was really stupid."
"Gods, Philly, you were the last girl I ever figured to get seduced by that Shetzer jerk. That was so stupid,"
he taunted her in an imitation of her own voice. Her mouth fell open, a blush flushed her face, and her eyes flashed dangerously. Then Zell brushed by them both. "You're both capable of better moments, and Philia, is it possible for you to find me some form of caffeine? Help the guy who helped bring your brother into the world?" His offhand statement diffused the situation, and his question caught her off guard.
"I'll check. Strong black tea is a possibility,"
Phileas sighed, too tired to play verbal war with Zelos.
"Make it so," Zell commanded, waving his hand and passing through the door.
He'd been dying to use that phrase since the very first time he'd seen Star Trek. The food was plentiful, tasty, and healthy. Dr. Adams stood and spoke first. Zelos was declared sound and whole after last night's taste of drug-induced stupor and sickness. It had been an accident, and now a lesson, for them to pass on to save other kids. He congratulated the very happy mother for her grace under pressure, and the father for his perfect timing. That got him some laughs, even from the dour Milgazia. Zelgadis and Valentine, yes, Philia told them all his full name for fun or spite, were lauded for their courage and competence above and beyond the ordinary call of duty. He finished with a toast to the new baby and his family, and then took his seat. Mayor Phil responded with a toast of his own, and then cleared his throat.
"I have something more to say. Tomorrow's paper will run a couple articles with certain identities carefully kept secret. I wanted to acknowledge our young friend for his significant contribution at a special dinner tonight at the mayor's mansion with his closest friends. And I will, no matter how difficult gathering you all together will be in this blasted snowstorm. Who am I talking about? Let me read from this article first. Ah, and I paraphrase this. Operation Shuts Down Child Porn Network, reads the headline. Teachers, priests, health workers, child care professionals, policemen, a bus driver, photographer, the list of people being identified as we speak for crimes against our children. 1/3 of those arrested have admitted to molestation as well, proving that viewing is not a harmless diversion. Children are currently being moved out of harm's way. The other article announces that our state has passed legislation to hold internet service providers legally responsible for blocking child porn. Huge fines for failures to comply or report. I would like to thank Mr. Zelos Metallium for his hours of tireless service to this community to accomplish this. Phil paused while those at the table reacted with a combination of astonishment and delight at the disclosure. You may say something or not, son, he added kindly. If you don't, I will. So you better tell all, sighed Zell contentedly, sipping his second cup of tea. Zello stood, uncomfortable with the attention for his achievement. I'm sure no one's interested. Philia shouted, I am, so tell me. He smiled. It started out as a way to trace my stepfather. I had spent 4 months in a hospital having my body repaired following torture and abuse at his hands. My mother had planned the job in order to either kill me or send me to the mental hospital for life. As it was, I spent the next year and one half institutionalized after I attempted to kill myself. I was despondent and alone. In the mental ward, I met an unusual girl who taught me how to use the internet for fun and profit. Her name was Lane. She was at the Siberia Club, remember? We started searching for my face on the porn sites. You see, my stepfather had videotaped my torture and told me why. But he spoke French, so I didn't understand until he was caught at last. The tape was recovered thanks to Zelgadis, and it is in a secret location. That information should never leave this room, by the way. Zello stopped and stared at Milgazia. He had just provided his enemy with information to endanger their lives. If certain people knew of that tape, several innocent people would be killed without a doubt. Anyway, I continued to search for child porn distributors, established a covert circle of other watchers who reported illegal activity to police, sent evidence, and closed down sites. I guess we made a difference. He slipped back into his seat, looking uncomfortable, aware of his rumpled appearance beneath the bewildered stares of the others sharing the table. Zelos! Philia gasped. She was sitting beside him and had dropped her knife and fork sometime during his revelation. Now she flung her arms around his neck and cried into his hair. This was the second time in as many weeks that she'd done this. But before, it was after condemning him and insulting him. And that other time was in front of his friends. Now he was seated at a table with her parents, the mayor, and her clan leader. Zelos was astonished. He wasn't sure if he should say something, or where even to put his hands. He couldn't think for a second, so he looked up at Zelgadis for help. Zell knew the story, and was proud that his friend was going to get some kind of recognition for all his selfless work, if only from his closest friends. He almost laughed when he spotted that oh-so-familiar look of panic on Zelos's face. He had certainly felt it many times. Zell stifled a chuckle and kicked Val under the table. Val moved his glare from Philia and Zelos to Zell. Zell mouthed, "Follow me," and quickly hopped out of his seat and joined Philia in a group hug. Val understood and added his unwashed body to the huddle. Zelos gasped That's enough humanity.
All four kids laughed and released him to breathe fresher air again. Zell and Val congratulated him and slapped him on the back. Other kind words ensued as the adults registered the enormity of his activities. Milgazia alone sat guarded and unmoved. Please, don't let an accident of birth completely mar your opinion of me. Zelos bowed his head in the clan leader's direction. Milgazia pushed back his chair and muttered through clenched teeth. Accident? You are a symbol of all that is wrong with kids today. You appear so noble, fooling these fine people, when beneath that smile is a heart of evil and malice. You hide a cunning mind behind a mask of innocence, even from your friends, but not from me. I know garbage when I see it and smell it. It's not my fault. I didn't get my morning shower, Zelos giggled, in defiance of the mistaken man. He was actually very shaken by the attack, but his conditioning had prepared him for verbal assaults, and worse. Although the sight of blood was still too much at times, wasn't it? He thought. Don't mock me, godless monster! Milgazia bellowed. Philia! He shouted, demanding her attention. As your clan leader, I forbid you from consorting in any way with this living, breathing vessel of evil. And you! Milgazia pointed an accusatory finger at the tall, green-haired kid. Valentine of the ancient clan. The same goes for you. You must not go back to that den of demons. A room will be made up at my home immediately, where you shall live forthwith. Philia, exhausted and shocked by the pronouncement, burst into tears and ran into her father's arms. Now, Val was not an idiot, but he was low on sleep and high on stress after running on adrenaline most of the previous night, so his judgment was a bit impaired. He also had it with control freaks running his life. All things considered, Val was not going to take it anymore. What? He roared for a start. I'm 18 years old now, and go where I want and see who I want for starters. Zelos is my friend, and his mother is my foster mother by legal action bound to my probation and accepted by the courts or something like that. So I can't just walk away from that. He and I are in a band together, and I'm not about to give that up now, either. He stopped as Zell's warning hand on his arm registered. Sorry for yelling in your home, Mrs. Olcott. I think I'm gonna help Zell find his car now. He flew out of the room, with Zell at his heels. Hold up, Val. You wanna find your car, right? Val growled. Sure, Zell answered. I think Zelos is coming, too. Zelos stood as Val made his exit. I'm sorry too, Mrs. Olcott. I make no pretense of who I am, but I am not a corrupter of anyone. I hope you'll be able to make the ceremony the first week of April, Philia. I will be received into the shrine as a full priest at that time, and hope all my friends can attend. Thank you all for your hospitality. He added with a bow to Milgazia, then hurriedly left the room in search of Val and Zelgadis. Phil jumped to his feet, stopping Milgazia from saying or taking any other action. You don't know the complete story about that young man, Milgazia. Don't say anything more, or you may regret your words in the future. That young man is a syndicate member, Phil. He admitted it to my face. You know who his mother is. And now she has those other two men under her roof. How much longer before she has them all doing her dirty work? The mayor was at a loss for words, a rare occurrence. He couldn't give away the kid's plans, even to this man who could be of assistance. He shook his head. I don't know, but I believe they have what it takes to resist. Dr. Adams was whispering to the Olcott and chose now to make his exit. I need to speak to the boys again. Excuse me. Phil, when is that helicopter due to arrive? The snow was no longer falling, but the narrow, winding roads of the settlement had not been cleared. Zell stood shivering beside the white mound that was his car. If I can get the snow off, do you think it will start? Val shook his head. Maybe.
I can get it going for you, but you got that card, right? The Oh My Goddess guys? They might be able to help. The problem's the roads. Until the highway's open, the car stays put.
Can't be helped then, Zell sighed, and hearing the approach of boots in the snow, turned around to see Dr. Adams approaching the trio.
Hello, the kind man greeted them. Pretty rough in there, huh? He asked, patting Zelos on the back.
Nothing I haven't come to expect from the Seafeed believers, he smiled carelessly, but I'll kill them all in the end.
They all stared at him after that outrageous threat.
With kindness, of course, he laughed.
The good doctor shook his head. Zelgadus was glad that he was around to witness this side of Zelos. He made another decision, and so strode up to his goofy friend, pulled open his jacket, and yanked up his shirt. His recent bruises were exposed.
Doctor, did he tell you about these? They're all over his body.
Zelos knocked his hands away angrily.
Mind your own business, Zelgadus.
You are my business, Zelos. Until this mess is over, I'm making you priority number one. You said that you were being conditioned and trained by your bosses or whatever. Looks like thugs are beating you up to me. Next time you go, I'm going with you, Zelgadus yelled.
Not possible. I'm fine, Zelos shouted back.
Sure you are. You're crazy. You faint at the sight of blood, and you think you can take on Gov. You let some thugs beat you black and blue and say you're fine. You're not living in the real world, Zell screamed.
I am not crazy. I don't answer to you, either. I only take orders from one person, and it's not you.
Your mother. After all she's put you through, you listen to her and not me? Oh yeah, she's family, and I'm just some half-nephew, stepbrother, freak you have to share your house with, Zell hissed.
To give him some credit, Zelos didn't use a karate punch on him and break his jaw. Instead, he slapped Zell's face, bloodying his lip. Val was about to punch them both out, but Zelos saved him the decision as to whom to go for first. Before his fist could reach its target, however, Zelos blocked it with one arm and had Zell rammed up against his snow-covered car with his other. Zell placed a hand protectively across his mouth, smearing blood on his hand and face. Seeing it frightened him. Zelos had never struck him before. What was happening to them? Zelos was panting as he held his friend motionless against his car. Their eyes met. Zell's sorrowful blue-green eyes pleaded with Zelos's flashing purple ones. Dr. Adams stood between Val and the others, shaking his head. Don't interfere. Time stopped. Zell could hear the sound of the helicopter overhead. He felt awful. Tired, hurting inside and out. He didn't want to go home like this. He wouldn't.
Zelos, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I said those things. You're more than just my best friend. I'm so worried about you, you know that?
I don't want to wake up some morning and find out that you're on death's door in the hospital or laying dead in a gutter. I feel so helpless and you're pushing me away, closing me off, and keeping your secrets, taking them to the grave. And I'm so sorry.
Zell stopped in a whisper. He was cold and sad. He closed his eyes and struggled to hold back tears. Zelos's weight lifted off his chest as his hand pulled back.
Zelgadus, I'm not working for my mother. She transferred me to someone worse. I am his until my contract is complete, or until one of us dies. I can't talk to her anymore, and I shouldn't be telling you this, but it's done. Next Wednesday I get my final instructions, and Friday it begins. I'm going after Gov officially. You and Lena and Gowrie, for sure, are to accompany me. Val, you and I must protect from Gov. Please understand your task will be no easier, believe me, but you will not be with us. That is all I know.
That's all you will say, Zell corrected, eyes still closed.
And I'm sorry too, little brother. I shouldn't have hit you, Zello said in his low voice.
Yeah, and his lip was the only unscarred part of his face, too, added Val. Shit, now he even scares me. Sorry, Zell, but you ain't the fairest in all the land, you know, Val muttered, looking for a hole to climb into.
Dr. Adams pulled out a clean handkerchief and pressed it to the swollen lip.
Friends again? That's good. Actually, that was the healthiest exchange I've seen you two go through. You weren't holding in your feelings, Zell, and you were letting out some of that pent-up aggression, Zellos. Of course, it connected with Zell's face, and that is not good. It's time to go back and say goodbye and collect the mare.
Can we see the baby again? Zell asked, to the surprise of his friends.
You know, I never got to hold him after all.
You want to do that? Zellos asked incredulously.
You wouldn't believe how small they are, Val said with a touch of wonder in his voice.
Didn't you say you wanted to get married and have a bunch of kids? Maybe you ought to hold one first.
Zell smirked. Zellos made a face. Do I have to? I saw it come out. That was awful enough.
Val opened the door. They probably won't let the evil one touch him, so don't get too excited, Zelly boy.
Dr. Adams stepped in and searched for Mrs. Ulcopt. Phil rose to greet the kids. Milgazia was nowhere to be seen.
Oh, of course they should hold the baby before they go, she cried out as she carried the quiet bundle down the hall. I just changed him so he's dry and happy. Here, Val, you're closest.
Philia was standing in the doorway watching. Val laughed and carried the baby, which appeared even tinier resting along his long arm.
You're frowning at me just like your big sister. Bet she was a crabby baby too. Oh, that you, Philia? He winked, good humor twinkling in his eye.
She flipped her ponytail and stuck up her nose, but she smiled too.
Zell, ready? Like this, Val insisted. I know, Val. I've taken care of Gowrie's youngest. Even changed his diapers. Thanks, though. Oh, you're not so small, are you? Valley's just too big. Nice hair, like a tennis ball. Now you slumber soundly tonight so Philia can get her beauty sleep.
Zell spoke in his soft, low voice.
The gods know I need it, too, Philia laughed at herself in a rare mood. I'm just glad no one I know's here to see me like this.
Val shot her a look that said, What are we, dead meat?
Oh, you guys are friends and don't count. You wouldn't notice if I was nude, she sniffed.
Her mother muffled a laugh with an extra baby blanket she was holding. She noticed the looks those three boys gave her beautiful daughter, two of whom she was sure were in love with her.
I'd notice, Zellos giggled. Oh, is it okay with you? He asked Philia's mother when Zell offered him the baby.
She nodded. Of course, dear. But it's easier if you sit first.
He took her suggestion and sat on a nearby chair. Zell lowered the bundle into his friend's arms. He copied the way Zell had held the baby and sat uncomfortably, staring down into the tiny, beady eyes.
He doesn't look at anything like any of you, Zellos said with surprise.
Mrs. Ulcop laughed. No, I suppose he doesn't right now. But you come back in a couple of months, and he'll look very different, I assure you.
Can I come back sometime? I'd like that, Zellos grinned. Philia, come here a minute. Take a look. Doesn't he remind you of that guy, what's his name, on the football team? I broke his arm or something. Oh, it was all in self-defense, Mrs. Ulcopt. I'm not a violent person.
Val was about to point out Zell's swollen lip when Philia noticed it.
Zell, what happened to you? I'll go get you some ice.
Nothing. Don't bother, Philia. I'll be fine. Besides, there's miles of snow outside if I want it.
Good. I'm too tired to get ice anyway. What are you doing now, Zelly?
She asked, teasing him with the nickname.
Smelling the baby, Philly, He has a different smell. Clean, milky, powdery, and wonderful.
Zelos said, transfixed on his new discovery.
You get loonier every day, sighed Philia.
Thank Seafeed, the helicopter pilots, signaling for you to go. I can't take you guys being all sensitive and all. Give me my little brother, Zelly.
Zelos relinquished his prize to Philia. Okie dokie. I want one too. You're so lucky.
Don't look at me, Chaos Kid, she sniffed and passed the baby to her mother. Yes, he's always this annoying. He and Zell are the biggest nerds on the planet. Come on, Val. I'll walk you to the helicopter. Well, maybe not. It's too cold. I'll wave from here instead.
Dr. Adams, Phil, and her three friends plodded through the snow and climbed into the crowded helicopter. Philia waved and fell onto the couch beside her mother.
I'm glad next week's the week before spring break and I can stay home and help you.
Me too, dear. You're always so busy with your friends, but now I can see why.
What do you mean, Mom?
They're very cute boys, and they think well of you. Oh, a mother can tell. They watch you all the time. I especially like the way they tease you.
Mother, they're just friends and guys in the band, Philia insisted.
I know, but two of them would like to be more, her mother said quietly.
Philia supposed she meant Val.
But Val and who else?
You can't tell, dear.
They're both so cute about it, too. Why, Val and Zelos, of course. You knew that, didn't you?
What? Val, maybe. Once upon a time. But Zelos? Oh, no. You're wrong about him. He likes Lena, but she doesn't like him. Besides just being friends and all. Mom, really, he's just an annoying jerk most of the time. And Val's an interfering loudmouth punk. Zelgadis is the nicest. If only Lena brought in his fifth grade picture, and he was so amazingly gorgeous before his accident. Anyway, I told you I'm helping Amelia to try to get him to notice her, but he's so shy around her and touchy. Yeah, they were just on good behavior while they were here. But back at school, they're all just meat-eating animals.
Well, I like them all, now that I know them better. Time to eat? Very well. They are the ones that brought you home last night, dear. Would you like to tell me about that?
Oh, I suppose. They were at the same dance club we were. Them and Lena and Gowrie. Alan was showing me off to his snobby friends, and I was bored, so he offered to take me outside for some fresh air. Of course, it was cold. It was about to snow. So we went to his car to get coats and warm up first. Then he started making some moves on me, which I was avoiding on my own, when that interfering Claude Val rips open the door and threatens Alan. Lena and Gowrie show up and stop the bloodbath or court action, whichever. Eventually, we all have to go rescue Zelos from the sirens. He's so clueless about girls. And he's a novice and is supposed to be ignoring them. We all get in the car, drop off Lena and Gowrie, and then me. Zell, Val, and Zelos all share a house these days. That's my story.
Whatever happened to Alan?
Who? Oh, him. I don't know. Went home, I guess. He offered to drive me home, but I told him I wasn't comfortable alone with him. Boy, am I glad it wasn't him here instead of Zell and Val and Zelos. Oh, don't lament his passing, Mom. He'll find another girl. Probably has one already. Did I tell you he has an illegitimate son? No? Well, he does. Cute little boy. Sheed, as in Rashid. Shocking, huh? Oh, well, when they look too good to be true, they probably are. I'm going to take a nap now. Homework later.
Rest well, dear.
Her mother sighed. Quentin, what? Lena yelled into the phone.
His name is Quentin Shadowrun Ulcopt, Zell sighed. So I have to shower and get something done before tonight at Amelia's. You're going, right?
Quentin, what kind of name is that to tag on a guy? Huh. Lena, goodbye. I'll see you tonight. Zell hung up the phone and undressed. He passed by the bathroom mirror and observed his reflection. Nice job, Zelos. What a pal. At least I have a lip. Actually, the bruised lip was only slightly swollen, giving him that bee-stung, kissable look the movie stars were getting injections for. He decided to fill the tub and soak.
So relaxing.
Until...
Zelgadis, are you there? Are you okay?
Zell opened one eye to catch a glimpse of purple.
I was. Go away. Amelia's been trying to get a hold of you, so she called me and said that the van will be by to pick us up in half an hour. But that was...
Amelia, what makes you think that's worth busting down my door and disturbing my bath? And don't look at me, you idiot. I want some privacy, all right? Get out!
Zell shouted crossly. But that was 20 minutes ago, so now you have 10 minutes to suit up, he giggled, wagging his finger at him.
What? You waited until now? Shit. I've got to get me a towel. Be useful. I can't believe I spent an hour in the bathtub. What am I going to wear?
I'll choose, okay? Here, white shirt, khakis, navy blazer, underwear, socks, tie? No?
Zelos casually tossed the articles onto his bed.
Sure, thanks. Is my hair okay?
Looks like it always does.
It doesn't even hold water, does it?
Zelos asked in an amused tone, leaning against the closet door. Zell glared at him.
Don't stare at me. Have the decency to look away, at least.
You know, the scars are hardly noticeable on your body. Just your face and arms.
Did I do that to your lip? Looks painful.
Zelos commented as he moved closer to the door.
Yes, it's not anymore. I told you not to look at me, Zelos. I really hate my body this way.
I know, but no one else cares. At the club, you didn't seem to be suffering a loss of interested girls.
Zelos smiled.
We talked about our dogs, Zelos, and she has a boyfriend someplace. They all do. If they are smart, nice-looking, and talking to me, they're somebody's girlfriend. See? I'm safe. No guy would be jealous of seeing their girlfriend with me, so they're cool about it.
Not Inu. You are bothering him. And Amelia's everything you mentioned, except she's quite available.
That's what bothers you about her, isn't it? No excuses. You're not the poor little scarred boy no one loves if you accept her feelings for you.
Zelos smiled at his revelation. But she doesn't like me for me. She's attracted to the poor scarred boy. She's drawn to causes. I've told you before.
He said as he finished buttoning his shirt.
Yeah, but I don't think so anymore. I think she's trying to be your friend, and sometimes trying to attract your attention. You should try being more outgoing. You'll either scare her off, or what? What makes you even think I want a girlfriend? Just because you seem to have an out-of-control hormone problem that results in needing a girlfriend doesn't mean I do. I don't want to date or make a fool out of myself.
Zell sniffed and tucked in his shirt.
Zell, you are so scared that you'll show some feelings and get them hurt, that you're missing out on the fun.
Fun? Dating is fun? I have nothing to say. I don't like eating out, or eating much anyway. I don't like loud music, or movie theaters, or going to most sporting events.
Zell snapped and jammed on the blazer and started for the stairs.
Putting it that way, you're not much of a catch. Just kidding. Hey, you don't have to do any of those things. Invite her over and cook for her. Play games on the computer. Sing songs on the guitar together. Walk in the park. Make out on the beanbag chairs.
Zelos chirped.
How he loved to tease his serious friend.
Zelos. There's the van. Let's go. Shit, where's your head?
make out on the beanbags. Where's my coat? Oh, yeah. Thanks. I'm not. I don't. You don't either. Oh, forget it. Val, oh, he's already in the van. You lock the door, then. Zell groused, blushing furiously. The highway out to Philia's was still closed and couldn't be cleared until that night. She called to say hi and moan about being trapped at home with the howling monkey boy, little Quinny. Oh, and Zell, your car looks fine. You and Gowrie should drive out in his truck and pick it up tomorrow.
Fine with me. If Gowrie can get the truck. Zell looked hopeful.
If not, the van can take you out. Just call me and let me know.
Amelia offered. Thanks, Amelia. He blushed. Gods, please help me stop that reaction.
The dinner was huge, and so wonderful for the voracious teenagers. The mayor was in a good mood and told several off-color jokes that his daughter called awful, Daddy! As dessert was being served, he stood and toasted Zelos for his achievement in disbanding a child porn ring. Then he grew more serious.
I understand that some very dangerous times are in your futures, kids. I am proud to call you the future hope of Seirun, and promise to aid you in any way that I can. I toast you all tonight, and look forward to doing this again with you all after the danger is past.
Zelgadus's Journal Entry 4, Sunday, March, BG, before Gov.
All I remember about Sunday was doing homework and working out at the dojo. Oh yes, my car. The highway wasn't cleared until late morning, and Gowrie couldn't get the truck until late afternoon. He picked up Zelos and me at the dojo and drove out to the settlement. I think Philia's mother thought it was that other tall blonde at the door, because her tense expression softened when she recognized Zelos and me.
Hello, Mrs. Woolcott,
Zelos said cheerfully.
Just want to check up on you and little Quinny before we take Zelgadus's car back. Oh, this is Gowrie. You met him when we dropped Philia and Val off after the beach gig. He was the band's driver.
Oh, yes, I do. Come in and warm up. Philia's changing the baby now, and my husband's fixing dinner. Would you like to stay? There's plenty, she added generously. Zelos was about to say yes, but I interrupted and excused us.
Thank you, but I want to get back before dark. Zelos is driving, and I want to survive it. You're such an ego boost, little brother, he smirked.
We followed her into the front room, where Philia joined us with the howling monkey.
Good lungs, Zelos winced and passed him on. Gowrie's turn. He has two younger sisters and three younger brothers to take care of, right?
Gowrie swept up the wailing tyke and settled him down with a whisper, and that soothing touch experience has.
What nice hair you have, Gowrie, Philia's mother said, admiring a strand. And so long. Didn't you find those little siblings of yours hard on it? Pulling and yanking, I mean?
Yeah. Mom braided it at home. A big one. Until my older brother told her I looked like a really tall girl. Now she ties it back into a ponytail. He's gonna be real cute, Mrs. Philia's mom.
How can you tell?
Zelos waltzed over to gaze at the ugly little face.
He smells good, though.
Zelos, you idiot, I snapped. All babies look odd at first. He's perfect. Nice head, beautiful eyes.
Why, Zelgadus, I think you're in love, Zelos teased.
I blushed and stammered some nonsense. Philia smacked Zelos with the meat tenderizer. Works on ice, too, and saved me the trouble. I chose that time to say goodbye and drag both of my idiot friends out the door.
And bye, Philia. See you in English tomorrow.
English? Oh, I have to finish that book tonight, don't I? Thanks for the reminder, Zell. You're such a sweetie. Philia gushed and waved us out the door.
Ooh, Zelly's a sweetie, Zello squealed. Don't call me Zelly.
That's your nickname now. Zelly. And I am sweet sometimes. I smirked.
I said I didn't want to be called Zelly. I'm Zell or Zelos, sweetie.
Oh, no. I'm Zell. You are Zelly. You can't be Zell. Ever. Not then, not now, not ever. Zelly poo. I chuckled as the car turned over on the third try.
Zell, sure you'll be okay? You're not gonna strangle him while he's driving or nothing, are ya?
Gowrie asked with a knowing twinkle in his eye.
Okay, I'll see you later.
You need to know where the light switch is, Zelos. It's likely to get dark before we get home. In fact, turn them on now, like Gowrie is. He's the best driver I know.
Yeah, thanks. Just follow him out onto the highway.
That was Sunday. Oh, yeah. Zelos got us home safely. He's okay with driving, as long as he keeps his attention on what he's doing and doesn't talk. I actually find it pleasurable being a passenger in the car with him. Quiet. Blissful silence. No radio, broken years ago. No talk, silence. I have incredible hearing, far better than normal. Yay, accident. So, silence is one of my greatest joys. It lasted about half an hour, then we were home. But I treasured that time. I knocked on Val's door and helped him find some information on the internet for a history report. He's another good guy, now that I'm getting to know him better. I feel for him and his messed up life. I wish him all the luck, courting the Queen of the Amazons. And as hopeless as it seems, I think he's as good for her as he thinks she is for him. But that's not my business, especially after I sensed something else going on today with Val not present. Zelos likes her. He may not even know it, or he may be hiding it so well, but when has he ever hidden his feelings? He told me he was in love with Lena. Could be true, but how long could he sustain that for her? No, he likes Philia. Course, he likes anything in a skirt, it seems, these days, so it's probably nothing. Of course, he told me he was giving up girls. What kind of idiot does he think I am? It had better be nothing. Philia'd take his feelings, mash them with that meat tenderizer, and jam them down his throat. Yeah, that's a romance that's going one way fast. Away. Wait, if he brings down Zelos, Wolfpack Island is his gift to give away. And whom would that impress? Oh shit, he's not doing all this risking his life for Philia. Oh, I hope I'm just delirious with lack of sleep. Better go to bed and forget I thought it up at all. Yes, sleep. 12 hours of sleep. Who's there? Oh, it's you, Beast. Sure, climb on up and find a spot. No, not in the middle. On the edge. The middle is mine. This is my room and my bed. I share just about everything with you Metalliums, but not the middle of my bed. Oh, hell. Just move over enough so I don't fall off. At least you're quiet. And warm. Bad breath, though. Ugh! Pant the other way. Yeah, I love you too. Now stop licking me and settle down. Good night. End journal entry. Stardate 3789BG, before Gov. Monday was back to the gray blot of school. In science lab, they were making plaster of Paris fossil casts from some found article from home, or the bottom of their pockets, as the case may be. Lena had remembered to bring some small treasure. Of course, she wasn't busy delivering babies over the weekend either. Zell pulled out a tiny purple paper crane that had migrated down to the bottom of his book bag, unscathed. That alone set it apart from his other choices. After coating the objects in petroleum jelly, they placed them in cups and poured on the mix and waited for a few millennia to pass. That gave Lena plenty of time to go socialize. Today, she chose to be the glutton for punishment and sought out Zellos for entertainment. "So, what are you fossilizing today?" she asked in her cute voice.
"That's a secret, Lena. You know that."
He smiled angelically. "It's a secret from everyone else, but you can tell me, right?" she pressed.
"Well, well, Lena, since you are in such a good mood for a Monday, I'll tell you. Ready? It's my secret signature identity key for the Secret Syndicate Society Club membership," he grinned.
She frowned. "That's not funny."
"No? Well, it's not when I use it either. But it keeps my real name off records and mislabels evidence later, if I need to. Of course, when its fossil is found a few million years from now, I'll be dead and it won't matter," he joked, and wiped the goofy white cement off his finger and onto the end of Lena's nose. Lena grumbled and cleaned off her nose on his shirt sleeve, which grossed him out.
"Serves you right! So tell me about Quentin! You were there, weren't you?"
"Yes, sort of. He's little, like this."
He held up his hands 18 inches apart.
"Ugly, like his sister. Although Gowrie says they improve with age, like a fine wine. But I'm guessing more like a moldy cheese, since he smells like milk. Milk and something else. I can't quite put my finger on it."
"Then you probably haven't changed a dirty diaper," she snorted.
"Ew. I said on it, not in it. And it wasn't that kind of smell. A nice one."
He smiled dreamily.
"Whatever,"
Lena moved on. "So why don't you get Philia to cut your hair? It's got to be bugging you in your eyes like that."
"Oh, she was too busy mashing me with a potato masher or a meat tenderizer. And now she's forbidden to consort with the enemy. I'll have to find a new hairdresser. Interested?"
He smiled down at her from his perch on a lab stool.
"Why's that? What did you do this time?"
Lena asked, narrowing her eyes and ignoring his question. "And this had better not screw up the band, Zellos."
"Me? Nothing. Milgazia is an even bigger snob than Philia, and her father's his friend, to whom he kowtows on every issue, it seems. Her mother, on the other hand, is a real lady, and tough. She calmly let two kids she hardly knew deliver her baby."
"Two? Which two?" Lena asked warily.
"Zelgaris and Val,"
Zellos answered. "What were you doing?" "Oh, I get it. That's why Philia was beating on you. While the other guys were helping out, you were going after Philia." Zellos nearly gagged. He did lose his balance and slip off his stool.
"I did no such thing. I was...
Zelgaris had wandered over when he had heard his own name being mentioned. Now, this was a good time to cut into their conversation.
"Unconscious in the den, isn't that right? The baby's head was showing, and then a shoulder. And I called for Val to get ready to catch him when you blundered in, and it was Philia who caught you, though, wasn't it?"
By now, half the class had surrounded them, and were asking questions in disbelief. Even the teacher interrupted class and made Zell tell the entire story. What he had done was no mean feat, and he spoke about it so casually, you'd have thought he was talking about a stroll in the park. By the time lunch rolled around, the story was all over the school, evolving over time with each retelling like a mutated organism. Philia wasn't at school today, which fueled the fires in Gossip Hell. By the end of the day, it wasn't clear, but Zell had secretly delivered Philia's baby, the father of whom was Alan, Val, or Zellos. Thankfully, Zellos wasn't there most of the day to hear any of that, but it cast a shadow over his role. Either he was the father, or he was not, and so he was in a jealous rage and threatening to kill everybody. Silphiel heard it in art, with Val sputtering in red-faced denial. She's got a baby brother, you morons! Shit, where'd you hear that crap? His rage fueled the fires even more. By the end of the day, Amelia was in tears. How could anyone even think those things about her friends? How she wished she had fists of justice to smash some sense into everyone. The cooking class was studiously quiet, having the hero, Zell, and his loyal bodyguards, Lena and Gowri, in the class and acting normally. Lena, I keep getting the oddest expressions. Do you know what's going on? Zell asked finally. She shook her head. No, but I know what you mean. I'll nose around and see what I can come up with. Gowri knew. He'd been in history with Val and Silphiel earlier and heard it all. He nudged Lena and told her to wait a few minutes until class was over and he'd tell her everything on the walk to band practice. There was no reason for him to contribute to Lena's going ballistic in cooking class. Nice, relaxing cooking class. And Lena did go ballistic. At least they were outside where damage could be kept to a minimum. That evening at the dinner table, it became the topic of conversation. Val, darling, would you pass the salad this way? Thank you. Such nice, long arms. Well, Zelos dear, I'm so glad you were able to join us tonight. I haven't seen you in ages, it seems.
Really? I guess not, he smiled.
Well, the way I heard it today, I need to keep a better eye on you boys. Let's see, one of you is a father, one a doctor, and one is about to murder the other two. Oh, it doesn't matter which is which, now does it? Although, I don't think Zelgadas, dear, is the murdering type. She smiled bemusedly at him. I'm thinking differently. You with a stake through the heart would suit me just fine. I could borrow that meat tenderizer from Philia and drive it in with no problem, Zell thought. Oh, Zelos, you can't believe all the crap you hear from kids at school. Zelos smiled benignly. No, but you are cutting classes, dear, and that isn't a telltale. She shot him a sharp glance. That new employer is quite demanding. I don't really think he's into schoolwork, either. Zelos met her glare with one of his own, and then smiled. So, how is work coming along? You finding your new employer satisfactory?
I don't see him much. And when I do, mostly we play chess.
Zelos lied smoothly. Well, don't displease him, dear. You know what he'll do, don't you? Zelos's left eye twitched. Only Zell noticed. Didn't he tell you what he does to staff who fail him? Yes. How about the ones who double-cross him? No. He gives them to his grandfather. And you know what he does with the pretty ones? Not that you'd mind. The lucky ones die, she said in a tone of voice that most mothers would use to read off a favorite recipe. Zell could hear Val starting to growl. He kicked him under the table. He didn't like the bent of the conversation either, but he could tell she was testing her son's ability to keep his anger under control. Zelos squirmed imperceptibly. Oh, that's just a lot of poppycock. Mother, you are listening to way too much gossip these days. But Zelgadas should tell you all about our wonderful stay with the Seafeed clan. We are such favorites out there now. We even got to bunk up at Milgazia's for the night. He's such a trooper. What? You want me to tell it all? Okay. I'll get the story going, and we can take turns, okay, guys? He said in his silly, simpering tone that irritated Rezzo too near distraction. But Zelos said nothing. She nodded to him to continue. I think I'll start at the club.
I had a great time. Met an old mental patient, chum. Danced. Was slipped illegal drugs. Oh, don't worry. Val saved me from actually doing any permanent damage to myself. Or so the doctor says. Oh, but that's later. I'll get to that part. He paused and sipped water. Did you have a good time, little brother?
Yeah, actually. I didn't have to dance much, and after your friend supplied me with earplugs, I enjoyed the music. Too bad we had to leave so soon. Zell sighed for effect.
By the way, Zell Goddess, dear, I love what you're doing with your ears. Rezzo, have you noticed? Of course not, darling. I'll tell you then. Zell Goddess has earrings. How many? I count one, two, maybe three in each ear.
Rezzo began a rant against the evil punk invasion that Zelus stifled with a few well-chosen words, more wine, and a dizzying kiss.
Now back to our story, Zelos giggled. Our hero, Val, was about to dismember Philia's seducer when, ta-da, Lena and Gowri come to the rescue.
Yeah, well, if we hadn't gone after Philia, who knows what would have happened to her, Val said defensively.
Zelos turned her attention towards him.
Philia, dear, she's the one you stayed with over the winter holiday.
Yeah, and practice with 4 times a week in band, and see every day in art, and at lunch. Yeah, that one. But she was out with some other piece of shit who attacked her in his car, so I put a stop to it.
Val said, with a note of pride in that no-nonsense style of his.
That's the Alan Schetzer piece of shit, mother.
Zelos smiled.
Oh, yes, one of those rich draconians. She smiled back.
Bingo! So we all drove her home like the Boy Scouts we are. Well, Val and Zell did. I wasn't feeling so sharp, seeing as my liver won't metabolize chemicals properly, and my nervous system is shot. Never matter. Where was I? Oh, arriving at Philia's place. Zell? We went in, dropped off Zellos to throw up, and then sleep the rest of the night. When Mrs. Ulkopt starts having contractions, as luck would have it, her husband and the only medical authority on the settlement were both gone together in town here, on the night of the heaviest snowstorm in the city's history, and amazingly enough, the only midwives were off on holiday as well. Zell sighed, but was now getting into this storytelling thing.
That's your karma kicking in, Zellipoo.
Zellos laughed.
I called Dr. Adams for assistance, Zell began.
That won't be billed to me, will it?
Zelos asked disinterestedly.
Which reminds me, boys, you're starting to pile up the doctor bills on a regular basis. Perhaps I should try hiring him on full time, our private physician.
Don't bother, Zelos. Zelos yawned. Don't you already own his old man? You know, the one that signed the papers to institutionalize me with a medical disorder I didn't have?
Talk to your new employer, then, and have him pick up the medical bills.
She said with a hard edge to her voice. Her eyes flashed and gave away her anger.
Zelos was getting to her. Zell could tell.
I'm sorry, Zell Goddess, dear. Go on with your story.
Back to cooing at me, huh? Zell smirked to himself. The good doctor was very helpful over the phone, and led me through a successful delivery of a baby boy with the steadfast assistance of Nurse Val. Zelos did his best to stay out of the way and keep Philia busy at the same time. All in all, it was a fine evening with the old Copts. Zell finished his tea and his story.
But you left out the exciting part, where the mayor, Milgazia, and the missing father all fly in by helicopter to find the clan has grown by one,
Zelos chirped.
Then Milgazia, that fine, upstanding asshole, puts us all up at his place. I must say, mother dear, that you must have screwed him over well once upon a time for him to have given me such royal treatment.
Rezzo slammed his hand on the table.
That's enough of your foul-mouthed insults and insinuations directed at your mother.
Well, you must know her better than me, because I wasn't implying anything. I meant that she must have done something to hurt my image with the guy, since he had a hell of a chip on his shoulder when it came to those Metallions. He forbid Val and Philia to have anything to do with me. Me? Why me, you ask? What did I ever do to the clan to be so thoroughly despised? Apparently, when I was born, I was used as a pawn to swindle the clan out of their ancestral home, Wolfpack Island. Thousands of the clan lost jobs, many died. And you know what? They all blame me. Imagine that. And there I am, like some demon, hanging out with their little angels in the kingdom of the gods. I'm lucky they didn't have me drawn and quartered, or, better yet, burned at the stake. Oh yes, what a day for the Metallium de Fay. He sang the last line. So that's what I meant when I said she screwed him over. Of course, that was probably after she found out that sleeping with him didn't work. Rezzo was about to strangle Zelos, but he was much too quick and agile. You were doing a lot of that back then, weren't you, Mother dear? That's why my father started drinking himself to death, wasn't it? Zello smirked triumphantly. Zelos was turning purple. Gotcha. You didn't know I'd found out, did you? I found his journal. It's filled with lots of juicy gossip. I bet you'd like to know where it is, too. Well, I can't tell you because that's a secret. He smiled and waggled his index finger in a teasing manner. Good night, everyone. I'm going to go to my room and do my homework. Oh, I do so love these family chats over dinner. He laughed and left the house. Val and Zell collected the dishes, cleaned up, and got the hell out of the kitchen in record time. He's nuts. Certifiable. He just cut his bridges and wrote out his death sentence. Val gasped to Zell in his funky gray room. Zelgadis sat at Val's computer. Maybe, but I don't think so. Zelos is not dumb, Val. Everything he does is well thought out. Well, not with girls, because that's all new territory. What I mean are devious schemes and clandestine ventures. Those make up his domain. He had that entire skit sketched out before walking in on time for dinner. We added the spontaneity he needed to move the conversation along to touch on all his points. His declining health due to her, buying off doctors, using him from the moment of his birth for evil purposes, her, general lack of morals. Get it now? That was all for my father's benefit. He's her weak point. For some reason, she needs his support. If Zelos can undermine that, even a little, then at some crucial time he might fail her, and all her plans collapse. Whoa, he told you that? Val asked in awe of the crazy kid. Him? Zelos? No, I just figured it out. Just? As in, just this moment? Val pressed. Yeah, tonight. When I saw an odd glimmer in Rezzo's eyes, like he was seeing for the first time. Val pondered what he'd heard. Now what? Internet, Zell said as he typed furiously. Know anything about breaking into DMV records? I have a car license plate number. Val shook his head and studied Zell's progress. How'd you get past those passwords? Zelgadis smiled slyly. I've been testing it each night from different servers and hiding my identity. Last night, I broke it. So, here we go. HM Company Car? HM Her Majesty? Val suggested. Zell grinned. Hellmaster. Zelos is working for Hellmaster Fabrizio, another underworld syndicate leader, up there with Gav and Zelos. I don't know anything else about him, or what having that information will do for us. But
It might come in handy later. Don't let anyone know we learned this, all right? Course not, Val growled. He knew dangerous material when he heard it. Moments later, he added, You gonna tell me that password just in case I need it? Zell narrowed his eyes. What do you think? Val chuckled. Just kidding. Zell grinned back. Just leaving. Zell's next stop was to check on Zelos. After knocking and hearing a muffled grunt, he let himself in and relocked the door. Zelos, you up there?
Yeah.
Zell climbed the stairs and rested his eyes on his friend, stretched out on his bed, shirt off, cold compress on his head. And don't yell at me. I know I'm banged up. Little early for bed, isn't it? Zell asked, examining the marks and making a mental note of the number. Not for me. God, Zelos, look at yourself. Zell moaned and looked away when he felt his stomach lurch. I do, regularly. Unlike yourself, I don't mind my own appearance. So, you're trying to match your skin tone to your hair, is that it? Zell asked. Wednesday is the last day of conditioning. Hey, it's working. I didn't lose it down there this time. Zello smiled half-heartedly. Yeah, I noticed. Rezzo, you got through to him tonight. I hope it was enough. So, no plans tomorrow? Zelos slowly rolled his head back and forth. No. Good. I do. In the morning, get up like you always do for school. We'll eat and go. Dress warmly and pack a change of clothes, just in case it's raining. Zelos removed the compress from over his eyes. Where are we going, little brother? It was Zell's turn to smile, waggle his index finger and say, That's a secret. Now, go to sleep, and I'll see you in the morning. Okie dokie. Was that true? About your liver not working right? Yes. Does Dr. Adams know that? Yes. All right, then. Good night, Zelos. Zell Goddess, thanks for caring. About me, that is. Sure, Zelos. That's what friends are for. But you more than just a friend. That's right. And I do more, too. That's what a real family is all about. Zell Goddess, what would I do without you? I don't know. Good night, Zell said, and left quickly. The next morning, Zell called into the school office and reported 3 absences due to illness. Val was settling into this life of crime nerd style. Breaking into DMV records, skipping school and reporting it. Oh, yeah. Zell was keeping to the speed limits, though, as he drove the scenic route to the coast. That weather! Snow one week, in the 50s the next, and sunny. The smell of fir trees signaled the climb over the coastal range was nearly over. Down the other side brought the scent of salt air and...
Freedom!
The 3 boys screamed out the open windows, wind hitting their happy faces and pushing their words back into their open mouths. Zell Goddess stopped at a state park, paid the fee, and found a parking spot. They made a run for the beach. Zell won. He always did. He was the fastest runner in the world, or so he joked. But he wouldn't join the track team. He wouldn't expose his scarred arms and legs to the eyes of the other kids. No matter what. Zell came to this beach because of the great piles of logs and driftwood. He'd always wanted a brother or friend to come here and help build a fort. Now he had 2, if he could convince them to help. And they were strong to boot. Zell was so excited, though, that finally, even Val broke down and helped schlep huge logs over to a clear spot. After a while, a fort grew out of the jumble of sticks, and Zell showed them how to play. He showed the boys who had lost their innocent childhoods too soon how to pretend to be knights and pirates, sea captains and dragons. Tee-hee! I shall be a great black dragon,
Val laughed, "of the ancient clan, whose blood has been tainted by that of the soulless demons, and is now out to destroy the world," he growled, and looked most fierce and ferocious. "I'm a dark and mysterious shaman, sorcerer, swordsman," Zell chanted. "I will serve and protect the world from evil, even as the world shuns me for my frightening appearance and power." He picked up his wooden sword and dove at the dragon boy. "I am one of the demons, but you cannot tell since I am fair of face." Zello smirked evilly. "I wield powerful black magic spells, and you never know what side I'm on or who I serve. Like a priest, I appear, and my staff is full of chaotic energy." He hissed, flipping his crude staff like a bow. No one won or lost that battle, except the fort, which was destroyed in the melee for world dominance. By early afternoon, the war was ended, having no victor, and the boys walked back to the parking lot. "So, where do we go for lunch?" Zelos asked, taking his turn in the back seat. "Everybody like clam chowder?" Zell asked. "Good, then I know a place." They huddled over their hot, steaming bowls of thick soup, dipping in hunks of bread and sopping up the broth before dripping the messes into their mouths. They were sitting outside, like men, in the now chilling afternoon air that ripped off the ocean and down the coast every day. They were colorful, noisy, sloppy, and happy. They were alone outside, comrades and brothers at heart. They were laughing at some off-color joke of Val's when he stared at Zelos and shook his head. "What?" Zelos smiled. "Too bad you don't have a sister I could date," he joked. "Well, I did." "Oh yeah?" he asked, forgetting the past. "That would be my mother, Val," Zelgadas reminded him with a punch to the nearest arm. "Ah, shit, that is just too weird to want to remember."
Tell me about it.
Zelos and Zell said simultaneously. "Don't do that," Val laughed. "It might start happening to you next," Zell grinned. "If you keep hanging around with nerds like us," Zelos finished in his silly voice. "What? Talking like goofball here, or finding out I'm related to you in some perverted way?" Val chuckled. "No chance of either," Zell remarked. "Not unless I start picking up your slang." Val glared at his friend. "Cute, Zell." Zelos looked thoughtful. "Related. There's a thought." "That's a bad thought, Zelly. Think about what we go do next," barked Val. Zelos smiled evilly. Zell moaned. "Wrong, Val. Now you've set him a challenge." Zelos. "Got it. It explains a lot, too. Listen, Milgazia has something Zelos wants to have, or control, or pollute, or something. She can't negotiate for it, so she seduces him. The happy little result of that must be hidden, of course. So Milgazia hides you." "Me?" Val snorts. Zell wisely stopped listening at the word listen, and was now studying the roadmap that Zelos had packed away in his coat pocket. "You? In with a big family of faraway clan, where nobody bothers to count," Zelos smiled. "No way," Val scoffed. "Our birthdays aren't far enough apart anyways." "Unless you are really only 17, or actually 19. But what's a year or two one way or the other, right? So that would explain why Milgazia hates me, the handsome hero, but adores you, the rough-hewn villain. But the clans are gathering and you are coming." Val's eyes narrowed. "So what?" Zelos gleamed. "You have green hair, unusual for clan." Val shrugged. "Zelos is a natural green, not blonde," Zelos introduced gleefully. "So Milgazia has the plain detour into a mountain,
But lo and behold, you are safe. Well, he stifles your inclusion into clan events, and all is well until he finds out Zelus has arranged Gav to become your stepfather. He can't fight you both, so he gives up and leaves you to fry in hell with the demon lords. It must be tearing the guy up inside to think that you are living under the same roof as Zelus and me. And you thought it was your magnetic personality and charm that has her pawing all over you. Are you done with your nonsense now, Zelos? There are holes in that tail big enough for you to drive my car through to these tide pools, if you guys are interested. Zell observed. Tide pools? Oh, goody! Zelos exclaimed. Can I drive? Yeah, Zell smiled and handed over the keys. Hey, Val, you're not actually taking any of that seriously, are you? Val stared at him, waiting for Zell to illuminate that gaping hole in the story. Zell nodded. For one, your birth certificate is legit. And for another, Zelus is a natural blonde. How would you know that? Val asked. Well, the birth certificate is backed up by official clan documents. Zell began. Not them things, the blonde part. Val demanded. Zelos looked interested as well, and jangled the keys nervously. Zell blushed. The blush went two shades deeper when he choked out, She runs around sometimes without clothes on, and once or so, I've noticed, God, just let's go, Zelos, before I change my mind. Val and Zelos laughed at his discomfort, but Zell felt bad for his friend. Deep down, he knew Zelos was hurt by his mother's behavior. On the way home, Zelos remembered something and turned into the strip mall near their house. Be right back, he sang as he skipped out of sight. Val had fallen asleep in the back seat, but now, bleary-eyed, sat up. What's up? We'll have to wait and see. It's a Zelos stop. We're almost home, though. I'm going into the deli and pick up dinner, Zell said, and left the car to Val. Zelos returned with a package tucked under his arm. Where's Zell? Dinner. Deli. What you got? Have to wait until we get home. We'll have a picnic outside and I'll show you these. Zelos smiled. Val sighed. Zell returned with a huge sack. Good. You're done. I'm hungry. Zelos and Val exchanged hungry, Zell's hungry expressions, and then they drove off. On the grassy lawn outside the practice room, Zell spread out the food on an old blanket from the back of the car. He was ravenous from the fresh air, exercise, and good times. So, what's that? Val asked Zelos. Zelos smiled and unwrapped the now-framed pictures Zell had drawn of himself, Val, who didn't know Zelos had even taken it, and Lena. Ta-da! Aren't they great? Yeah, thanks, Val gasped. Art for my room. Zell chuckled. Life was good. Life was wonderful.